Track 5, Poetry Corner. Christmas poems are many and varied. This time, our regular reader Dorothy has chosen for us a wonderful commentary by John Julius Norwich on the Christmas carol, The 12 Days of Christmas. Unfortunately, Dorothy is unwell, so here's Sam to read it for you, with a little help from Tony.
December. My dearest darling, that partridge and that lovely pear tree, what an enchanting, romantic, poetic present. Bless you and thank you. Your deeply loving Emily. 26 December. My dearest darling Edward, the two turtle doves arrived this morning and are cooing away in the pear tree as I write. Do you know, I'm so touched and grateful. With undying love, as always, Emily. 27th December. My darling Edward, you do think of the most original presents. Who ever thought of sending anybody 3 French hens? Do they really come all the way from France? It's a pity that we have no chicken coops, but I expect we'll find some. But thank you anyway. They are lovely. Your loving Emily. 28th December. Dearest Edward, what a surprise! 4 calling birds arrived this morning. They are very sweet. Even if they do call rather loudly, they make telephoning impossible. But I expect they'll calm down when they get used to their new home. But anyway, I'm very grateful. Well, of course I am. Love from Emily. 29th December. Dearest Edward, the postman has just delivered 5 most beautiful gold rings, 1 for each finger, and all fitting perfectly. A really lovely present, lovelier in a way than birds, which do take rather a lot of looking after. Well, the 4 that arrived yesterday are still making a terrible row, and I'm afraid none of us got much sleep last night. Mummy says she wants us to use the rings to wring their necks. Well, she's only joking, I think. I know what she means, but I love the rings. Bless you. Love, Emily. 30th December. Dear Edward, whatever I expected to find when I opened the front door this morning, it certainly wasn't 6 socking great geese laying eggs all over the doorstep. Well, frankly, I rather hoped you'd just stop sending me birds. We have no room for them, and they have already ruined the croquet lawn. I know you meant well, but let's call a halt, shall we? Love, Emily. 31st of December. Edward, I thought I said no more birds, but this morning I woke up to find no less than 7 swans, all trying to get into our tiny goldfish pond. I'd rather not think what happened to the goldfish. The whole house seems to be full of birds, to say nothing of what they leave behind. So please, please stop. Your Emily. 1st of January. Frankly, I think I prefer the birds. I mean, what am I to do with 8 milkmaids and their cows? Is this some sort of a joke? If so, I'm afraid I don't find it very amusing. Emily. 2nd of January. Look here, Edward, this has gone far enough. You say you're sending me 9 ladies dancing. Well, all I can say is that judging from the way they dance, they're certainly not ladies. The village just isn't accustomed to seeing a regiment of shameless hussies with nothing on but their lipstick cavorting around the green. And it's Mummy and I who get blamed. If you value our friendship, which I do less and less, kindly stop this ridiculous behaviour at once, Emily. 3rd of January. As I write this letter, 10 disgusting old men are prancing about all over what used to be the garden, before the geese and the swans and the cows got it, and several of them, I notice, are taking inexcusable liberties with the milkmaids. And meanwhile, the neighbours are trying to have us evicted. I shall never speak to you again, Emily. 4th of January. This is the last straw. You know I detest bagpipes, and the place has now become something between a menagerie and a madhouse, and a man from the council has just declared it unfit for habitation. At least Mummy has been spared this last outrage. They took her away yesterday afternoon in an ambulance. I hope you're satisfied.
5th of January. Sir, our client, Miss Emily Wilbraham, instructs me to inform you that with the arrival on her premises at 7:30 this morning of the entire percussion section of the Liverpool Philharmonic Orchestra and several of their friends, she has no course left open to her but to seek an injunction to prevent your importuning her further. I am making arrangements for the return of much assorted livestock. I am, sir, yours faithfully, G. Creep, Solicitor at Law.
Much, Sam. And now, just because this is a festive edition, you're going to be treated to a second dose of Galtina. So brace yourselves.
And there's another little Christmas poem for you. When I was a little old gal, these are the memories of my winters, when we used to have proper winters, these were. The Christmas cards were lanterns, seen lighting up the porch. Remind me of my winter nights. I'd go out with my torch. By day, us kids would congregate. Homemade sledges we would tow. We'd take turns to have a race and pull each other in the snow. The ice froze on my ringlets, but I was too content to leave. When my nose dripped with the coldness, well, I just wiped it on my sleeve. Our bauble hats and knitted gloves that Mother made us wear. We must have looked a rummin, but we were hard then. We didn't care. The snow stuck to the wool like a great old garden slug as we rolled it up into a ball to hull at someone's lug. Us mothers stood up to the boys. We'd often have a brawl. The snowballs stung and bruised our legs, but the boys got bruised and all. We'd play out in the snow till our hands were cold and blue, and our feet they hot with chilblains as we warmed them up the flue. Our socks would be so wet, we'd dry them on the hearth, and still we'd wait till Sunday before we had a long hot bath. Our snowman in the garden, he'd stand there in a pose, with two small taters for his eyes and a carrot for his nose. Oh, the snow and lovely winters, and the trouble I've been in. And if that snow come thick and fast, well, I'd do it all again. That I would. We don't have winters like them, do we? Cheerio.
For good measure, here's another jolly little ditty. This is a personal favourite of mine. Perhaps, Tim, you'd like to read this one for us.
In the good old days when snow was snow, snowmen lasted years, you know. They kept cool heads when the sun came out. They didn't melt, they ran about. They took their holidays by the sea and paddled, just like you and me. When winter time came round again, they piled the snow and made more men. Still, that, of course, was years ago, in the good old days, when snow was snow.
Thank you, one and all, for that special Christmas poetry corner.